water.
I mentioned before about our water supply.
Water. Water.
Water. Water.
Drinking water. Water system.
Boiled water. 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 Water.
That's crazy.
Last night, it was -2 degrees in the bedrooms. There was ice on the inside of the window. The bucket of water that is in the toilet for kind of sluicing down the pee loo was frozen solid. And even when it's a sunny day, if there's a cold wind blowing, our washing freezes on the line. Every night the water supply has to be switched off because otherwise it freezes. It gets turned off at about 2:30 p.m. and it gets reconnected again at about 9 a.m. So it's quite a long time without running water. So it comes from upstream and it comes down to the garden of the rescue post and into a big basin sort of thing that we use for washing ourselves, well, washing our hair, because you can't really get naked outside, washing our clothes and washing vegetables and things like that. We've also got a bucket inside for hand washing. It's kind of got, it's one of those buckets with a tap at the bottom. This morning, first thing, no running water, so you just got to wait, really. You've got to wait until the sun comes round and starts to thaw everything out. We often get asked in our altitude talks, what are the best options for treating your drinking water? Because although some of them are safer than others, in terms of bugs, those safer ones may have more environmental impact. Like if you're treating it with iodine, that's good, and it kills almost all of the bugs, parasites, viruses, bacteria, etc. But if it goes into the water system, then that can have an impact on the environment. We use chlorine tablets, which actually taste fine. You kind of get used to them pretty quickly, and the modern ones don't taste too unpleasant. I've also got a filter bottle, which is quite nice. It's a little one called a water to go. Other people boil it, but the problem with boiling is up here that takes a lot of fuel, which is quite expensive. So getting a fuel bottle up here, it's got to either be carried by yaks or by porters or potentially helicoptered in, but all of that is really expensive, so there's no one perfect solution. I'm walking up to Gokyo, which is the second rescue post. My colleagues Eddie and Deb have been up there for a few days already and have started seeing patients and things. And we're just kind of using a bit of a rotor system to kind of keep changing around. So we tend to do about a 4-day stint in either place and then switch, and we're kind of rolling. So today I'm on my way up and it is incredible. I'm certainly never going to have anything like this again. I'm walking up this valley, which has got a churning white river at the bottom of it. There's a lot of boulders as well in the riverbed, which have been brought down by the glacier that's further up either side. It's just a massive row of ginormous white peaks. So at the moment I can see a peak called Cholatsi, and there are several others which I don't know the names of, but I imagine they will become familiar friends to me. Interestingly, they look so gnarly that I have no desire at all to get to the top of them. I'm quite happy just to sit at the bottom and look up at them, which is probably different how I would have felt a few years ago. Maybe that's me getting a bit more mature and less inclined to want to do crazy gnarly shit. I'll probably turn off, because I imagine it's not very appealing listening to someone panting uphill.
If you like the podcast and you want to support it, then please like it, share it, You could subscribe to it, or you can even donate and find more information about the charities if you go to lowfatradio.com/doctor. Thank you.